Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Michael Crowd of Idea Dudes, and in this show, we're going to discuss configuring an Internet Information Services 7.0 web server. Who am I? I've been in the industry for over 23 years. I've worked with the United States Air Force, the Navy, Marines, Army, government, and companies around the world. To learn more about me and my background, please be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you would like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. The IIS architecture's key features is that it's a modular design. Unlike Windows 2003 with IIS 6.0, when you installed IIS 6.0, you installed everything. So it was ready to go, but it was a major security hole. Because it had so many different services on it, it opened up that attack surface even more. So with IIS 7.0, IIS 7.0 allows us to be able to install only the things that we need. So when we install IIS 7.0 for the first time, it's actually going to be a static web server. So it's only going to be able to display HTML. If you wanted to be able to be a dynamic web server, then we can install ASP, ASP.NET, CGI, FastCGI, PHP, all these different things. So one of the things about IIS 7.0 is that it's modular. You can also install it on the server core. What's the server core going to give you is the ability of locking down your IIS environment. The server core does not have any GUI. So that's going to make it that there's not a lot of services that are running on the server core. Unified pipeline. What does this mean? ASP, ASP.NET, static HTML, PHP, FastCGI, CGI, they all go through the same processing. Instead of having where it was separated, we're now running everything through its the same area. So completely modular allows administrators to customize the modules that are installed or running on the server. Custom modules can be written to extend the service capabilities. So you can use Visual Studio 2008, 2010 to create your own modules. They can be written in C#, C++. What a module does is it's going to translate the information when it's coming through the pipeline, so the request pipeline. Native modules can be replaced with your own modules. It gives ability of extensibility. We can extend the server by adding our own modules to the IIS server. Unified pipeline. All content is handled through a modular pipeline. Previous versions used an ISAPI filter. Now we use modules. Configures the cache along with the configuration to be modified on the fly. And restarting of the server is not required. When you made a change to IIS 6.0, you had to restart that server for the things to take place. With IIS 7.0, we can add a module. We don't have to restart the IIS server. The server core, like I said, IIS 7.0 can be installed on the server core. Reduces services, servicing, management, and disk space requirements. Because there's no GUI, that takes away a lot of the bulk or the bloat of the operating system. And this also reduces the attack surface because, again, it doesn't have as many ports or as many openings as the previous versions did have. Server core does not have a GUI and can be administered remotely or locally using a command line. So the thing with the core server is that we can use an MMC. We can connect to the IIS 7.0 server on the core server. So we can use a GUI. We can also use PowerShell to be able to manage the core server and also command lines with app command, which that's what we use for managing the IIS 7.0 server. Now, what are the typical workloads? Well, you have a static content, which is a default. The features is static, default, document, directory browsing, HTTP error, errors. HTTP logging, logging monitor, logging tools, request monitor, request filtering, static content compression, and IIS management console. When you install that, that allows us to be able to display or push out HTML. ASP.NET, then what we do is we add on the ASP.NET, .NET extensibility. We can also use ISAPI and ISAPI extensions for ASP.11, ASP.NET 1.1 framework, .NET framework 1.1, 1.1. Classic ASP, you're going to add the ASP module, ISAPI extensions also. Fast CGI for PHP, we have CGI, and we can do a full install, which is going to be all the features. But the thing is then you're going to open up your attack surface even more if you put all the features on. So what you can do is you can take and you can design several IIS servers with different modules on it to handle different types of information and different types of web pages and applications. The hardware requirements take into account the entire IIS environment. They look at developing. If you're running Visual Studio 2010, 2008, also look at the applications. Because with IIS, we can also host like SharePoint. SharePoint is actually on IIS. Exchange is on IIS. So these are all web applications, especially like Outlook Web Access and Outlook OWA. So OWA is an actual IIS ASP.NET application. Staging. Staging is when we're putting the applications on, we're doing it little by little. And so what we're doing is testing and developing. Production. Production, when we're done with the testing and our development, then we can bring it into the environment where we're going to host out the applications and allow individuals to be able to get to it. Maybe it's an e-commerce site, or it could be just a social site like Facebook or any of the other social sites. I mean, these are just web applications. That's all you need. When you're looking at it, that's all it is. It is an application that's running on a web server. It may not be IIS, it may be on Apache, but it's still an application. So we could host like a social media site on IIS 7. Service level agreements, you need to keep that in mind, because service level agreements says, okay, within this amount of time, we're going to have this web server up and running again. So what we try to do is we try to strive for the 99.999. That's called the five nines. That means we're only going to have a downtime of about 5 minutes per year. And that's a realistic goal. But most companies hit about 99.9% or 99.99%. So based on our service level agreements, the service level agreements tell our clients that we're going to be up this amount of time, we will be able to recover in this amount of time. So what we have is fault tolerance, which we'll talk about with web farms and other things like that. Now, the function of IIS will be the determining factor for hardware procurement. If it's going to be static content, it's not going to require as powerful servers as a SharePoint server, for example, or an e-commerce site where we're going to be using SSL. We're going to be using SQL Server, MySQL, any of the dynamic scripting, ASP.NET, and so forth. Now, the considerations, you need to review the RAM. How much RAM do we have? Well, you have to understand that there's a requirement for the operating system itself. Once you start putting stuff on top of the operating system starts to slow down. So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have enough RAM for the operating system and our web applications. So you have to do a baseline in the very beginning when you put that web application on. Then when people are starting to hit the application, then you can do another log and compare the two, and that's where you'll find your bottleneck, your slowdown. So RAM is very important when we're talking about IIS. Also CPU. CPU, we could have, this brings us into the concept of virtualization. We can virtualize our web servers, but we want to make sure that we designate enough CPU for the actual application. So that's where we go in and start monitoring. Disk drivers. Disk can slow down the machine if your disk controllers are not working, you don't have the correct disk drivers and so forth. Bandwidth. One of the things that you want to do is make sure that your web IIS server is not taking over the whole bandwidth for your infrastructure. Because remember, you have Active Directory out there. You have all these other applications that are probably running with DNS, DHCP. You may have a certificate server. I mean, there's all kinds of different things that are going through. So you need to make sure that you throttle the bandwidth, making sure that the IIS server does not take over all of the bandwidth within your organization. And then fault tolerance. You want to be able to provide the ability to switch over to another server if we do have a problem. An example that we give is you look at Barnes & Noble or you look at Amazon. If Amazon were down for an hour, they lose millions of dollars. So you betcha that they have other servers that they're going to be able to switch over to. And what we have is we have the ability of doing this through what's known as a web farm. And the web farm, what we're going to do is we're going to set up all our servers that are going to use the same configuration. And we're going to have it so it's in a network load balancing type situation. And we may use hardware, we may use software. It depends on how deep our pockets are and how many servers that we're running. We can run up to 32 servers, but the recommended is 8 on software because of some of the problems with port affinity and some of the other things. So with IIS, we can run 8 to 10 on network load balancing software, but then when we get above that, then that's when we need to go a hardware network load balancing. And 64-bit is the other thing that we should look at, because 64-bit, if you don't have 64-bit, then 32-bit is going to give you 3.86 gigabytes of RAM. Where in 64-bit, we can theoretically go up to 2 exabytes of memory. That's a lot of memory. But realistically, because of the prices, 64 gigs of RAM on that server to be able to support the applications and so forth. The more RAM, the faster the processing is going to be. Because what can happen is if you don't have enough RAM, it's going to make your CPU even work harder and also cause your disks to work harder going through what's known as thrashing because you don't have enough memory. I hope you have enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for Michael Kraut. If there is a show you would like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comments box below. Thank you for your time, and thank you for letting me into your world and talk to you about technology. Tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. Bye-bye now.